Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful that your mercy is more, that it is indeed stronger than darkness and new every morn. Our sins, they are many, but your mercy is more. And so, Lord, today, as the people who trust and follow Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we pray that you would draw us close and hold us near. Lord, we can sense the presence and power of your Holy Spirit in our midst. And we pray now that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that we would leave this experience different from when we entered it, more like Jesus. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. We're so thankful that you are with us, and I want to invite you to open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4. If you are a YouVersion Bible app user, you can tune in to our live event right now. But this morning, we have a wonderful reminder that I want to share with you. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of the lessons we've learned over the last couple of weeks is that our world is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God who came to earth to die so that we might live, is the same. And so the most important message you could get this morning is that if you have yet to turn to Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your life, and to be your personal Lord and Savior, there's no time like this moment right now. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I've broken God's law. You said don't lie and I've lied. You said don't cheat and I've cheated. You said don't steal and I've taken things that don't belong to me. I'm a sinner. I deserve to be separated from you. But I believe you came so that I might be reunited with Almighty God by your grace, by your mercy. I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for me. I believe, Jesus, you arose from the grave the third day. And I believe you live today. Lord Jesus, I turn away from my sin and I turn to you. I want to trust and follow you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I give my life to you. If you will pray that prayer, what will happen is that God will forgive you of your sin, cleanse you of your unrighteousness, adopt you into his family, call you his own. And what will be in store for you, not just for a moment, but for all eternity, is life that is full, life that is abundant, and life that is everlasting in Jesus Christ. That's why we trust and follow Jesus. He is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And in a world that is constantly changing, he is steady. He is secure. He is steadfast. Well, speaking of a world that is changing, we recognize that things have shifted dramatically, quickly. I don't know about you, but every afternoon I'm tuning into press conferences just to see what's happened today. I'm turning on the news and wondering what's going on right now. These are interesting days. They can be unnerving. I mean, there are people all around the globe. If you look at the CDC's website, you can see that this pandemic is truly a pandemic. It's all around the globe. And there are people who are sick and who are suffering. There are even those who are dying around the world and right here in our own Commonwealth. Their families are hurting. The world has changed. We think about our healthcare providers and medical personnel who are putting their lives on the line to help the rest of us. Our first responders and the essential people that make life happen within communities, they are putting themselves on the line. And so we want to continue to pray for them, and we want to continue to pray for their families as they bear this burden as well. There's a lot going on. At a less serious level, but still serious nonetheless, the fact that schools have closed down, the fact that seniors in high school and seniors in college, people who are experiencing their last year, likely are going to miss a lot of the hallmark moments of their last year. And so we're sad for them. And we pray for them as they adjust to this new normal. We pray for the athletes that have prepared for everything that they were seeking to compete for. And it's changed. They don't get to do that anymore. And so now what do? They continue to train. I mean, there's a different world around us right now. For those of you who are parents, you might have kids at the house, and some of those changes might bring some moments of levity, or at least moments you got to laugh at, because if you didn't, you'd cry, right? So I've got an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old at the house, and right now, the 11-year-old is in a lot of text message groups because we are social distancing. But thankfully, there is technology that allows us still to talk with one another. And one of them is a study group. And one of his buddies, who I love dearly, sent a text to the study group the other day saying, "Hey, does anybody have the answers?" They didn't comply. My 7-year-old daughter is scheduling Zoom appointments right now and FaceTime appointments with her friends, and it's really interesting to see what 7-year-olds separated by distance have to talk about. So there are ways that we're all adjusting to a new normal, some very, very serious, people's lives being changed in radical ways, some that we just have to get used to. But in the midst of adjusting, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I think what's difficult about this transition for many of us is that the best thing most of us can do is nothing. The best thing most of us can do is to intentionally isolate ourselves, to intentionally separate ourselves, to intentionally distance ourselves, and to be still. Now, last week, we looked at Psalm 46, where the sons of Korah, hearing from Almighty God, recorded God's words, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." God said that, and it's going to happen. But we are truly getting a crash course in what it means to be still. There's much we cannot do. There is much that we cannot do. But in the context of a world where there is much that we cannot do, I want to give you this theme this morning. When you can't do much, do what you can. When you can't do much, do what you can. The Apostle Paul was in Roman imprisonment when he was writing his letter to the church at Philippi. He was chained 18 to 24 inches away from a member of the Roman Imperial Guard. He couldn't do much. But in the context of a time when he couldn't do much, imprisoned, potentially awaiting execution, he did what he could. And the fruit of his labor, we're going to experience this morning. He wrote the letter to the church at Philippi, the most joy-filled letter in the New Testament. He couldn't do much, but he did what he could. And listen to the words that the Apostle Paul wrote as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The first point I want to give you today is this. There's much you cannot do, but you can pray. There is much you cannot do, but you can pray. Notice what Paul says. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." He even repeats himself. I will say it again. Rejoice. That word is an interesting word. It means to look for joy in God's grace. Look for joy in God's grace. So what does that mean practically? That means in any situation and every situation, I look to God's grace and I look for God's grace to strengthen me in joy. Rejoice in the Lord. And when do we do that? Always. Always. In any circumstance and in every circumstance, we rejoice in the Lord. We look to His grace. We look for His presence and we find strength in Him. And because of that, we can let our reasonableness be known to everyone. What does that mean? Well, the context helps when he says the Lord is at hand. So you picture Paul sitting in Roman prison, chained 18 to 24 inches away from a member of the Roman Imperial Guard who's just working his shift. And he says, even in this context, rejoice. The Lord is at hand. So it's not just me and this guard in this context. God is with me. Can I tell you something? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God is with you. He's right where you are. And if you're under quarantine right now and you can't see people and you can't connect with people, you can't hug people, many people are huggers, man, and this is a hard time. And for those who aren't huggers, they're handshakers and they're fist bumpers, and this is difficult. We are social distancing, but it's hard. But you know who's with you? The God of the cosmos, through His Holy Spirit. He is there, and He's not going anywhere. He's with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And so you can be reasonable, and I can be reasonable. The Lord is at hand. And then He gives us a strategy. In a time that will unnerve you, in a time that will pique your anxiety, He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So here's how you can combat the anxiety of the moment, because if we're honest, it comes. You don't have to sit there paralyzed in the fear of what might happen. You can act in response to your anxiety. What do? You go to God. You go to God. You don't have to just sit there still and paralyzed. You can actively pursue the only one who can do really anything about it. Pray. Take your request to God. Do it with thanksgiving. Find something to be thankful for. There's always something to be thankful for. There are silver linings to every cloud, and there are ways that God shows up, even in the hardest days. You can't do much, but you can pray. And here's what God says will happen when you pray. The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Isn't it beautiful to know that our God who made us knows us that well, that He knows that our hearts need to be guarded during these sorts of times? Doesn't it amaze you that our God who made us knows that in these sorts of times our minds need to be guarded? And what will He do as we go to Him in prayer? He will give us a peace that passes understanding. If you will, a peace that makes no sense. And He'll provide that through the presence of His Holy Spirit in you. I heard a sermon not long ago preached by James Merritt, who is the pastor of a Cross Point Church down in Georgia. And he said, I want to give you a mental image that you can use when you're dealing with these sorts of moments, when you're dealing with these sorts of worries and anxieties and things that unnerve you. He said, I want you to picture in your brain three boxes. The first box is labeled worry about it. The second box is labeled pray about it. The third box is labeled thank God. And here's what he said. He said, this is a little activity that I do in my own mind. Whenever something comes and I want to put it in the worry about it box, and maybe even I do for a moment. He said, I go to that box in my mind and I take that thing out and say, nothing belongs in this box. So now I'll put it in the pray about it box, and I'm going to start to pray about it right now. I'm going to take it to the Lord right now. You know, He's always available. You're never going to get a busy signal from God. You're never going to drop the call with the Almighty. So I'll take it out of the worry about it box, and I'll put it in the pray about it box, and I'll take it to Almighty God right this minute. And I'll find something to be thankful for along the way. So Merritt said, in the worry about it box, put nothing. In the pray about it box, put everything. And in the thank God box, put anything. That's a great strategy. I've employed it myself. I got to employ it with a gentleman who was about to have brain surgery the other day. How helpful that we can take anything to God, and He will give us a peace that passes all understanding. So there's much you cannot do, but you can pray. Well, now look at verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. During this time, there's much you cannot do. But number two is this: you can focus. Notice that the Apostle Paul carried on by the Holy Spirit, tells us that we need to focus two areas of our lives. We need to focus first our minds, and then we need to focus our actions. Focus your mind on what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Why does that matter? Because you have been raised and you have been called to set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of Almighty God. Set your mind on things that are above. So what does that mean? Should you be aware of what's going on around the world? Absolutely. Should you watch the news? Should you check into whatever your favorite news feed is to know what's going on? Absolutely. Should you know what you ought to do in response? Yes, we want to be responsible citizens who love God and love people enough to follow the recommendations that are being given so that we can mitigate the spread of COVID-19. And so absolutely, you should know exactly what's going on. You should know what you ought to do. But should there also be times when you turn off the news? Yes. Should there also be times when you look out your window or you go outside and you focus on the grandeur of God's beauty, recognizing that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork? Yeah. There were times when I was in college that I just had to get off campus. I went to college in a small town. It was a small college. And there were times when it seemed like that college experience was the whole world. And there were times when I had to get off of campus to be reminded that the world was bigger than the paper I was trying to get done. I had to be reminded that the world was bigger than the test I was studying for. So I would get in my 1993 model Chevy Camaro. It was black. Well, at least it had been. It had oxidized pretty substantially. And before I got it, because this was not 1993, this was in the early 2000s, somebody had tried to break into the thing, and they had popped out the door panel. And so it didn't have a metal around the window. The window just closed against some weather stripping. Well, the window didn't close. And so if there was weather outside that wasn't pleasant, there was also weather inside that wasn't pleasant. And I couldn't leave anything of any great value in my car. The good news was, at the time, I didn't have anything of any great value to leave in the car, so it didn't matter if anybody broke in. But sometimes I would go get in my 1993 gray, but not intentionally gray, had become gray Camaro, and I would just drive around. I would drive around central Kentucky just to look at the scenes of life going on and just to be reminded the world is bigger than my personal struggle. The world is bigger than this particular circumstance, and then I would always be reminded, and this is so powerful, I would always be reminded that God is bigger than it all. There is nothing that you face and that I face is too big for Almighty God. He is Lord of all. And so you get out and you breathe. So Paul says, focus your minds. And he says, focus your actions. Notice what he says. He said, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. What's he saying? To you and me, look for those godly examples in your life. People who've weathered many storms. How many of you have somebody in your life who's been through enough that though they are appropriately aware of what's going on, they're just steady? I love those folks. In our church, we are privileged to have many members of the greatest generation. They have weathered much. They have seen much. They have endured much. And you know what's interesting about them during this sort of time? They're steady. They've seen God come through before. They know God will come through again. Their eyes are fixed on Jesus, and they're taking the next step. They may not know what 10 steps down will be, but they know what the next step is. And they know that if they'll keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, he'll make everything all right. He's seen them through before. What a great lesson for those of us who are not a part of the greatest generation, those of us who are coming up in their wake, that we would look at the steady faith of those who have weathered much, and that we would stand firm in the faith that the Lord Jesus has given us. So you look to those godly folks who've gone before you and say, wow, oh Lord, give me a faith that will help me stand firm, even in the midst of difficulty. So, there's much you cannot do, but you can focus. Focus your mind. Focus your actions. Now look at verse 10. Paul writes, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. The third point I want to give you today is this. There is much you cannot do, but you can serve. There is much you cannot do, but you can serve. Jesus said, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You say, well, I'm socially distancing myself. How do I serve? Well, number one, you can pray. Do you know that the most powerful thing you can do for any person, anywhere, at any time, is to pray for them? There was a song when I was coming through college that said, I don't know what to do for you, but I will do the most powerful thing I can do. I will carry you to God on my knees. And do you know that you can, right now, you can serve the world by praying for people? And then, if you've got people that are around you in any way, if you're social distancing, as you should be, you have people that are able to be reached through technology, serve them. Do you know one of the ways that you can serve them? Call them and check on them. It's an amazing thing what a phone call will do. It's an amazing thing what a text message will do. Just to remind us that we are connected. You can FaceTime, you can Zoom, you can Skype, you can do all sorts of things to appropriately maintain social distancing, but also to have that human connection. And that's huge. Checking in with people is huge. And then checking on people. They may not be able to get out of their house because they're in a high risk, high vulnerability category. Is there anything you need that I can do for you while maintaining appropriate social distancing? But is there a way that I can serve you? Is there a way that I can be helpful to you? Now, this next way may be the hardest. If you have people in your family, in your house with you, you are going to get on each other's nerves at some point. It's going to happen. Our children are already tired of their mother and me. I think they're more tired of me than their mother, but that's okay. But guess what happens? This is an opportunity for you to serve the people that are in your own home. So assume a posture of servanthood, a posture of service. I'm going to do what I can using my gifts and my talents and my abilities to advance the family, to help the household. I'm going to do what I can to help. And so it's not just all about me, because we're all going to have moments of meltdowns and we're all going to have moments of misery during all this. But how can we continue to intentionally be the light of Jesus Christ? There's much you cannot do, but you can serve. You can be exactly like Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And this is a great opportunity for us to serve. Well, now look at how this section ends. Verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The fourth point today is this: there is much you cannot do, but you can persevere. I used to play basketball for Moss Middle School. I know you all are already familiar with the great victories won by the Mustangs. We were the Mustangs back in those days. Now they're the Dragons. Many of you are already familiar with the great victories won by the middle school Mustang basketball team. I mean, it's amazing the things that we did. Actually, the truth be told, I was in Moss's gym not long ago, and I looked up, and they have all these banners of all these great teams that did great things. And there's a couple years that are missing. My wife, who loves me, she said, what years were you here again? And I said, I don't want to talk about it because they were the years that were missing. They didn't have much to pick from. That's why I made the basketball team. I remember being in middle school, and we used to go to the Hilltopper and the Lady Topper games, and we love the Hilltoppers, support the Hilltoppers. But I noticed some of the players had taken a Sharpie and written on their shoes, Philippians 4:13. And I thought, wow, that's great. Well, I didn't know what that verse was, so I went and looked it up. And it was, I can do all things through him which strengtheneth me. I looked it up in my dad's King James Bible that had a zipper around it, you know. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. But you need to understand that all I wanted to do was dunk a basketball. So I thought, if I write that on my shoes, can you follow the logic? It never worked. So I had to grow and learn that that's not what that verse was about. That verse is about enduring. Paul said, I know what it is to be abased, and I know what it is to abound. And he had experienced that. I know what it is to have much. I know what it is to have little. I know what it is to succeed, and I know what it is to suffer. And he said, I've learned the secret of it all. Well, what's the secret, Paul? I can do all things through him, Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul's not talking about dunking a basketball there, although for some people they're really good at that. But that wasn't part of the all things that he was strengthening me to do. He was strengthening me and is strengthening me. And if you're in Christ, he's strengthening you to carry on and to persevere and to get through. So the fourth point is this. There's much you cannot do, but you can persevere. Life will call you to persevere. Life will cause you to persevere. There will be moments, this is one of them, where what you and I can do is to put the next step in front of the one before. To keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says, and to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Have you heard the story of Joseph Scriven? Joseph Scriven was from Dublin, Ireland. He was born in 1819, and he was born to a family of means. He was able to have a great life and able to have an education. I believe he went to Trinity College and got a bachelor's degree, and he had fallen in love with his childhood sweetheart, and they were going to get married. Well, on the day before they got married, she was coming to meet him, riding her horse across the bridge, and she fell off the bridge. She hit her head, and she drowned on the day before their wedding. As you might imagine, Joseph was hurt. And so he moved. He needed to get away. And he moved from Dublin, Ireland, all the way over to Canada. And he came to Canada, and he helped teach school children. He became a tutor. And he met and fell in love with another young lady. And they were preparing to build a life together. And unfortunately, she contracted pneumonia. And though he tried and the doctors did their best, she died before they could wed. And so Joseph Scriven devoted his life to serving the least of these. He devoted his life to the destitute. He used to cut wood. And if you could pay him, he wouldn't cut wood for you. He would only cut wood for people who could not pay him. He focused his life on the destitute and those who needed help. One day, one of his neighbors came over, and they found laying on a table in his room a poem that he had written. In response to the hardness of his life, he wrote a poem. He wrote it to send to his mother back in Dublin to encourage her soul and to let her know that he was going to be okay. His friend looked down and said, "Where'd you get this poem?" He said, "Well, I wrote it. Me and God wrote it." This is the poem. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Today, as we continue on in this journey of uncertainty, remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Trust your life to him. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Follow him as Almighty God, and carry everything to him in prayer. Oh, Father, we love you, and we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to carry every need that we face to you. We love you, Lord. We trust you, and we pray that we would not forfeit any solace, that we would not bear any needless pain because we choose not to carry things, all things, to you. Give us your peace that passes all understanding. Guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Draw us close, hold us near, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.